Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our time of Bible study. I am thankful to the Lord for another opportunity that He has given to us to come together, and I thank you for joining us tonight. It's always a blessing and a privilege to get together with the saints around the Word of God for our time of Bible studies like this. And since the year started, the Lord has really been helping us. And we have been studying this exciting and this powerful series of lessons that we have titled Knowing God More and Dwelling in the Secret Place. And we have learned a few things already where we have, the Lord has really helped us. We've made a lot of progress. And I'm very excited about where we are at. I hope that you are. If you've been joining us week after week, I know that you are truly blessed. And you may not know it, you may not feel it that way, but the Word of God is making a difference in your life. And in tangible, measurable ways, you are actually getting to know God more. And so I'm super excited at the opportunity to be able to go at it again tonight and dig in further. So let's share a word of prayer. Whatever platform you are joining us on tonight, I hope you have your notebooks or your devices to take notes, your pen, and of course, most importantly, your Bible, the Word of Life. And I'm very excited about the dish that the Holy Spirit has prepared for us tonight. So let's share a word of prayer and let's get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your name. We give you the glory. We give you the praise for everything that you're doing in our lives. This is our year of divine everything. Thank you for being our divine everything. Thank you, God, for being with us, for manifesting your presence in our midst. Thank you, God, for showing up in our services, in our Bible studies. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for always coming to teach us, to grant us illumination and understanding. We welcome your presence tonight. And Father, I thank you, God, for everyone, my brothers and sisters, and all of their loved ones, everyone that's joining us tonight on whatever platforms they are joining us on. I pray the blessings of heaven upon them. I pray, Father God, that you will minister life to them tonight. Grant them grace, understanding. Give us illumination through your word. Help us, Father God, to receive understanding. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. Let that be our portion tonight. I thank you for it. I give you the glory and I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And thank you again for joining, and God bless you. And I want us to dive right into the Word of God. We have a lot of ground to cover. As a matter of fact, I'm resolved within myself. I'm trusting the Lord to help us accomplish this goal. I know I was looking over my notes earlier, and some of the things that I know are so important that I'd like to be able to have us discuss. But I just don't know that we have sufficient time. And I know I've been saying this for a few weeks, and I really don't want this to be a long, drawn-out, protracted message series. It's turning out to be exactly that already. I think that the Lord is helping us to learn exactly what we need to learn, to receive exactly what we need to receive. And I'm trusting God that you are a good student of the Word, and you've been going back to study a lot of the things that we have already discussed together. But I am trusting God that this week and next week, we can actually conclude what we have for this, the third major way in which we get to learn to know God more. And I'm trusting God that subsequently, the next 2 weeks after that, we can actually just wrap up completely. So I'm trusting God that in this month, we can wrap up this series of studies and take some time to digest, overview, and all of that, and then get into the next thing that the Lord has for us. Let's go back into the Word of God. Our theme scriptures for the year, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In the King James Version, it says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." The Message translation, let's read actually the New Living Translation first. It says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." I want us to read that also from the Message translation. The Message translation reads, "Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received." Listen to that. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. I thank God for the invitation that the Lord has given to us. We may not realize it, but tonight is another divine invitation that God has given to us. He's offered us this ability to be able to come into his presence, to learn him, to know him. We're not just learning about him, we're learning him. We're just not knowing about him, we are knowing him. And so I trust God in this season as the year progresses. We go month to month. Each new month produces or provides fresh perspective, fresh opportunity to again reset, reconnect with the Lord. And I trust God that you are taking advantage of that, that you and your loved ones are doing well and that you are being blessed. But the promises that God has given to us, everything that goes into this life, this divine everything that we have been promised, happens through the intimate and the personal knowledge of our God, of our Father. So we have been learning about how to know God more, specific ways, deliberate ways, the most important ways. These are not the only ways. We've picked four of the major ways. They are not the only ones, but there are four of the most important ways in which we can get to know God more. If you've been following with us on this series of lessons, there are four of them we have already talked about, where we have already identified, and two of them we have already learned about extensively. And we're taking the third one tonight. In just a minute, I'm going to have us go and read from the book of Hosea, our usual scripture from Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. But let's do a quick, just a very, very short, brief, quick revision of what we've already learned. We've already talked about the key to knowing God. We've talked about the two major requirements for knowing God more. We identified the first one as being a heart that is yearning for God, a heart that is seeking God, that is longing for God, that is fully committed to God, a heart that is hungry for the things of God. And it's very easy to have that kind of a heart when the year starts, but I encourage you to keep that. Don't lose that. Don't let the drifts of life and the affairs and the ups and downs of our experience, don't let them take that away from you. A heart that is yearning to know God. The second requirement for knowing God more is humility. Making ourselves insignificant before God and laying aside the significant things of our lives so that God can reveal himself to us in a significant way. So we've already learned those. We have also learned these four major ways through which we can get to know God more. We've identified the four major ways and we've already learned two of them. The first way is through habitual fellowship. Habitual fellowship through hanging out with God, walking daily with God. And we have already learned the different ways through which we cultivate habitual fellowship, through which we minister to God, because when we fellowship with Him, we minister to Him in His presence. We've talked about ministering to Him in His Word. We've talked about ministering to Him in thanksgiving. We've talked about ministering to Him in fastings and prayings. We've talked about ministering to God in waiting on the Lord. We've talked about ministering to God even through giving, things like giving. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the second major way through which we get to know God more, we learned that extensively last week, is through zeal and desire. Through zeal and desire, we talked extensively and discussed that last week. I really liked one line that stood out very strongly to me last week. That having zeal for God grants us ease, grants us easy access into the revelation of God. And we learned about what zeal is. What is zeal? A burning passion to do something for someone. Obviously, zeal is born out of love. And we saw that God so loved the world He gave. He did something for the world when He loved us. We saw Jesus, He loved the Lord so much, He went into the temple and took it personally when they desecrated His temple. We saw the man David, who said, "The zeal of the Lord God has consumed me." And we saw a lot of what he did because of the zeal of God that was within him. He said to his older brother, who accused him of showing up on the battlefront because he was just curious to see the battle. There was actually really no battle going on. It was just one crazy man, one giant, standing there running his mouth, and then soldiers that were hiding under the rock. And David got there and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" They didn't call his name, but they called the name of his God, and he took it personally. And zeal for God is doing something for God, doing things for God. That zeal grants us easy access to the revelation of God. We talked extensively about that last week. The need to stir up ourselves, to allow the Holy Spirit to stir us up, and things like that in the different aspects that we studied. In Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, this our one of our theme scriptures, we actually read a lot about zeal and about knowing God, the role that zeal plays in knowing God. But beyond that, it talks a lot about the commitment that we need to have to follow on to know God. Knowing God isn't just a one time in a year thing. Yes, praise God for seasons in the year that we take time out to maybe apply ourselves, fast and pray, do a Daniel fast like some of us did at the beginning of the year and things like that. But knowing God is an ongoing journey, is an ongoing process. Like we've read about Enoch. The Bible says, "And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God." And he lived 365 years, a complete life. And Enoch didn't just walk with God. He didn't just seek to know God at seasons, particular seasons of his life. No, but on an ongoing basis, he sought to make himself available to get to know God. Listen again to Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read this directly from the Amplified. The Amplified version says, "Yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and he will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth." Amen. Tonight, we're going to start talking and discussing and learning together. We're going to learn this as extensively as we can within the time that we have. I believe that the Lord has given us for it. It's so expansive, this particular aspect of it. And there's just so much ground and so many scriptures that I know I would like for us to read. We can't get to every one of it, but I'm going to encourage you, take some good notes, open your heart to the Holy Spirit. The Lord will minister to you. And I do encourage you to go back, because this has a lot to do. This is really, this is one of the most sacred aspects of knowing God. This is one of the most, every one of it is divine, but this is really one of the deepest. This is one of the ones that goes way, 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 way beyond just the periphery into the depths of our lives and the depths of our devotion to God, in exposing us to knowing God. This third one, this we have called knowing God more through revelation and experience. Can you say that with me, wherever you are? Knowing God more through revelation and experience. Let's say it one more time. Knowing God more through revelation and experience. Through the years, there is one of Ora Roberts' books that I love to read just about once every year. I try to read it. Sometimes I get to read it a bit more than once because I make references to it sometimes later on in the year. But I try to read it at least once every year. It's an extremely powerful book, one of the last books he wrote at the end of his journey before he transitioned, and I love it so much. But for many years, I did read a particular line in that book, and I don't think I really did grasp it. I don't think I understood it as much until not too long ago. And I was reading it again. I'm actually in the process of reading it again now. And I was going through it again, and I saw that line, and I stopped. And it meant more to me. And it's amazing. I'm sure you've had these experiences. All of us have. You may have seen the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you see one time and it's just like it's different from all the other times that you've seen it before. And that was the experience that I had. In this book, he made a statement. He said, "We understand God more through the word and through experience." We understand God more through the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, and through experience. And this took on a greater depth than it had before. And he actually quotes this out of the Proverbs. And we're going to read that scripture in just a minute here. But understanding that, just ruminating that, meditating that over and over again, brought a level of understanding and revelation to me that I had not had before that. And a lot of that you are going to find as we go along in our studies tonight on this particular aspect of getting to know God more, knowing God more through revelation and experience. Knowing God more through revelation and experience. It's very interesting the way the Lord works, because as I studied and received all of this instruction and revelation from the Word of God and things that we're learning and things that we're teaching on our Wednesdays, and this particular point, the Lord had given to me, I'd been studying on it, and then, of course, as I was reading the book, or a Robert's book, I saw that line, and maybe that's part of why it stood out to me more, because it just so lined up with what the Lord had opened my eyes to before. Ora Roberts said, we understand God more through the word and through experience. You would find out, we've already learned some of this. You remember when we talked about habitual fellowship with God, developing or cultivating habitual fellowship with God, we talk about Samuel, who ministered to God in the word or through the word of God. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, through the word, he actually revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh year after year through the word. So we know we understand God more through the revelation of the word of God. But there is an additional component that our robots added there that the Holy Spirit had given to us before as well. That we don't just know God through revelation, we also know him through experience. And sometimes it's the experience that comes alongside with the revelation of God that we enjoy, that we acquire. And these are not like far-fetched things. Every one of us, every single one of us has the opportunity to know God in this way. The only thing is, one of the reasons why it's easier to enter in or it's more difficult to enter in has a lot to do with the attention, the amount of attention, the level and degree of attention that we are giving to the things that the Lord opens our eyes to see. And you're going to see that as we go along. Because revelation is really progressive. We all start from square zero, square zero, square one. We all start from where we give our lives to Christ. We start learning about God. The Holy Spirit starts teaching us as baby Christians and things like that. But you notice many more believers who do certain things tend to get closer and have a closer and a clearer revelation of the Lord as they go than many others. And I'm not just talking about having theoretical knowledge in their minds. I'm talking about actually experiencing the revelation of God in their lives as they walk with him. But all of us really do have access. Sometimes it's just the lack of attention. And you remember the story of Moses. We've read that before. We can't go back because of time now. But we've read it several times already. When Moses was around the burning bush. And that caught his attention. And he said this word, I will now turn aside. I will now turn aside. Well, that decision that Moses made to turn aside changed the trajectory of his life forever. Permanently forever. You know that. Because from that moment, the Lord introduced himself to him. The Lord started revealing himself to him. And so what happens a lot of times is all of us have these moments. All of us have these situations, these experiences. But how much attention we pay to those moments, to those situations, to those experiences, determines a lot how much of God's revelation can be made available to us. And you know, revelation births revelation. You know, we learn one little aspect of God that becomes revealed to us. We keep on walking, more gets revealed. We keep on working, more gets revealed. And more gets revealed to a point where we actually can lay hold of understanding. We tend to know a bit more, like we read in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. I've said this over and over through the months or through the weeks. He says, let us recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. That understanding comes from a place of repeated revelation and experience. And that understanding, we come to a place where we just tend to understand an aspect of God more than we have in the past. Right. But without paying attention, like we ought to, it's a mystery to us. And this explains why some people just never really are able to gain any more understanding of God than they did at the very beginning of their spiritual walk, because they don't pay attention. They don't turn aside like Moses did and open their eyes and open their ears and open their hearts. And sometimes things stare us in the face and we just don't see them because we don't pay attention. It takes attention. It takes paying attention to receive revelation from God. Revelation isn't just, you know, we see this dramatic, spectacular things, an angel or whatever, heavens, all of that is revelation too, but most of us will probably not experience that, and if we do, maybe once in a lifetime, you know, but all of us have access to the revelation of God so that we understand more of God. Now, I want us to start out here. I've talked so much trying to introduce this particular principle, this particular concept here. But let's get into the scriptures as we go. There's so many scriptures I'm going to have us read, and some of them we're just going to leave up because of time. But praise God, we have this week, we have next week to grow in this area of knowing God more. I want us to start out from an experience that the Lord Jesus Christ had with his disciples. Where are we? Halfway? Not yet. Praise God. Very close, very close. That was a lot of very long introduction into the concept, but I'm glad we did it. Gives us the ability, perspective, and a greater foundation to be able to receive whatever it is we'll learn as we go forward. Now, I want you to look with me here, Mark chapter 8, an experience that the Lord Jesus Christ had with his disciples, Mark chapter 8, and let's read from verse 14. Hallelujah. Go there with me. Are you turning in your Bibles? Mark chapter 8. Yeah, I can see you. Mark chapter 8. And let's read from verse 14. I want you to read these scriptures with me. Don't just stare into your phone, your computer, your TV. I actually want you to set your eyes on these scriptures wherever you have them, either in your Bible or on your devices. I want you to read this scripture. Mark chapter 8. We're going to read from verse 14 to verse 21. This was after the second time that the Lord broke, he multiplied bread and fed thousands of people. Let's read from verse 14. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. Leaven obviously is like yeast in bread. And in verse 16, they reasoned amongst themselves. So they thought about what Jesus said. And they tried to figure out, why did he say what he said? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of Herod. They tried to figure it out. And in their under spiritually developed minds, they concluded what the Lord was talking about and why he was talking about it. And they were totally off mark. They were totally off base. What they concluded had absolutely nothing to do with what the Lord was saying. And the reason for that was because they did not have understanding. Let's read this further. He said in verse 16, they reasoned among themselves in verse 16, it is because we have no bread. So he's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they concluded that's because he's saying that because we have no bread. And listen to what the Lord said. And verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Do you still have your heart hardened? Listen to that. The Lord said, well, how come you don't get it? How come you can't see it? How come you can't understand it? Why is your heart still so hardened? He wasn't saying that in a negative way to accuse them, but to chastise them. Because their eyes, their natural eyes were open but couldn't perceive spiritual things. Their natural ears were open but couldn't hear the things that God was saying. Their hearts were there but were not really open or supple or flexible enough to be able to receive. He said, why? Why is it you can't hear? Why is it you don't understand? Why your heart's hardened? In verse 18, he says, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Now, listen to this now. Because this could as well be the Lord. This could as well be the Lord speaking to you and to me. This could as well be the Lord speaking to you and to me. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you hold this place. We're going to come right back here. But when I started out talking about what our robot said, we understand God more through the word and through experience. I said he actually took that out of the Proverbs, and I was going to share that scripture with you. I forgot. So I'm going to go and show you that scripture in Proverbs 3:18, I think it is, 3:13 in the Amplified. And then we're going to come right back here. So hold your place here, don't lose it, because we're going to come back to Jesus, to what the Lord is saying to the disciples. Actually, this is so good, because so powerful, because the Lord could have been saying this to me, or to you, or to any of us, right? Because this is where we find ourselves all the time, that the Lord is showing us something, but we can't see it. It's not because our eyes are shut. Our natural eyes are not shut. Our natural ears are not blocked. Our hearts are there. Our hearts are alive and well. But we just can't see what the Lord is saying. We can't see what the Lord is showing us. And because of that, we pass on revelatory knowledge. We pass on understanding. And this is one of the most important ways through which we get to know God more. This is passing on revelation after revelation after revelation, passing on opportunities to have understanding, to gain understanding and gain understanding, passing on these opportunities that the Lord gives us periodically in our lives will keep us bereft of the knowledge of God. Will make us outsiders trying to get in. Amen. Because we know God more through revelation and experience. And what is most required is that we pay attention. To pay attention to have an experience, to read something in the Word and to say, and to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and to be able to take it into our life experiences, and to be able to infer what the Lord may be ministering to us through that experience or through that word. And while we're going through that process, suddenly becomes a revelation to us. And that revelation just begins to grow and grow and grow. Hallelujah. Let's go there. Let's Keep your place in Mark chapter 8. Go there and look at Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're so thankful to you. Thank you, Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's look at that in the Amplified. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Look at that in the Amplified. It says, happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable. That's how the Amplified always, how it always describes the word blessed, right? Blessed, fortunate, happy, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. Then he puts in parentheses, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. Let's look at that again. Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. The man who gets understanding. Remember what we said earlier, that understanding is produced through revelation, through experience, that all of that at some point it translates to our understanding of God more. Like Hosea said, that we should strive to understand him more, to appreciate, to recognize him. He says, now listen to that verse again. Happy, enviable, blessed is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. The man or woman who gets understanding, drawing it forth. Notice, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. So it's there, but we draw it forth. It's like you go to a well, the water is there in the well, you have a bucket to get the water, but then you just stand around the well and wish your bucket would be full of water. No, you've got to draw it forth. And that's what Oral Roberts was saying. Knowing God comes through, understanding God comes through the word of God and life's experiences. That is how they work together. Not life experiences in isolation, but life's experiences that the Holy Spirit is able to take and is able to use and is able to interpret from the word of God to reveal to us more of the working of God in our lives, more of the nature of God in our lives. Amen. Though it says, the man or the woman who gets understanding, they are blessed. And this understanding comes through drawing it forth from God's word and from life's experience. As you and I are studying the word of God tonight, many of us are drawing forth understanding from the word that will eventually be supported by our life's experiences. And you know why that is happening? Because we're paying attention. So many other people may be in this Bible study tonight, may be reading the same scriptures tonight, but their minds may be somewhere. They get out of it and there's no revelation, there's no understanding, there's no perspective, there's no growth, there's no drawing closer to the Lord. And you know why? Because we fail to pay attention. The key really is paying attention. All right. Now, go right back to Mark chapter 8. Let's jump right back to that scripture where the Lord was talking to the disciples. Let's read it from verse 17. It says, when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you? Because we have no bread. Don't you perceive? Don't you understand? Are your hearts still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? And then he tried to juggle their memory. This was part of what should have been added to the word of God that they were receiving, the life experiences that they were a part of, to gain a greater understanding of God. He said, do you not remember? He said, When I broke the five loaves, you know that story. When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 12. You remember when he multiplied five loaves and two fish? They took up, they fed 5,000 people, much more than that actually. But at the end of it, they took up 12 baskets. So if the Lord, hallelujah, if the Lord could have multiplied five loaves and two fish and fed thousands of people and they still took off 12 baskets, how come you think he's talking about bread? Like, we don't have bread. What are we going to do? We don't have bread. Oh, I wish we had bread. I wish you guys remember to bring that loaf that we had in the hotel. Hello. How come you think? How do you think what he's talking about is bread? Don't you remember? He fed 5,000 people and they had 12 baskets full after that. Then he juggled their memory further in verse 20. He said, and when I had seven and we multiplied seven amongst 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said seven. This happened just before this story right here, actually. Just before this. He multiplied seven loaves and fed another 4,000, and they took up seven baskets. So he said, well, look at what he says next in verse 21. And he said unto them, verse 21, how is it that you do not understand? Verse 21, Mark chapter 8, verse 21. How is it then that you do not understand? Because understanding God more, knowing God more, comes through revelation and experience. Here they were, a part of revelation. They saw miracles happen. They saw what the Lord did with the five loaves and two fish. They saw what the Lord did with the seven loaves among the 4,000. They had the experience. They had that supernatural, that divine connection. But they never registered because they did not pay attention. It's not that they didn't see it. It's that they did not pay attention. Let me ask you, how many things in our lives do we actually naturally see the Lord doing but that we do not pay attention to? That may actually be stopping us from getting closer to Him, from getting to know Him more, from becoming more intimate with Him. How many things happen in our lives where, like Moses saw the sight and we just pass by, we don't pay attention? Knowing God more comes through revelation and experience, but we've got to pay attention. Revelation, experience, understanding comes through paying attention. Hallelujah. Paying attention is the key to revelation and understanding. I want us to look at a couple of scriptures here. This is still foundational. Where are we? I know our time is going, but praise God. That's fine. Wherever we get to tonight and next week, that's it. I'm sure at some point the Lord will give us an opportunity to come back and study this some more. But I do believe that what we need to receive, we are receiving. There's so much ground to cover. I know I told you at the beginning that we will not be able to cover everything. I knew that. Because even just explaining and just even getting understanding from some of these very basic, simple scriptures, and we haven't gotten into some of the bigger ones. But just laying this foundation requires that we're thorough with it. Requires that we get paying attention. Paying attention. We're going to look at this a bit further as we go. But being able to line things up. See, something happened over there in your life, and something else happened over here that seemed totally unconnected, but they become connected through something that your eyes are open to in the Word of God, through a revelation that you receive from the Word of God, and suddenly you connect that and you connect this, and you come into an understanding of an aspect of God. An aspect of God. You know, someone may not know the place of love in conquering fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. But as you're living your life, you read that in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit shows you a few things about it. And you have an experience there where you actually fell victim to a situation and fear took over your life because you were not walking in the revelation of the love of God for you. And then over here, something else happened and you were reminded of the love of God for you and you resisted the fear. And because you resisted the fear, you got a breakthrough in that situation. And the Holy Spirit brings it together and shows you how perfect love casts out fear. The perfect love of God for you drives out fear from your life. Drives out any fear of a terrible future. Drives out any fear of an evil repercussion to your life. Drives out fear of anything that is going on around you, or that may be a situation that you are dealing with that could otherwise have produced something negative. But you know suddenly, oh, perfect love casts out fear. And in walking with God, there is no room for fear. I must not tolerate fear in my life in walking with God. I must not allow fear. No fear of the past, no fear of the present, no fear of the future, no fear of anything. And in walking in the perfect revelation of God's love for me, I have the upper hand over fear. You know what? You know God more that way. You learn God more that way. You understand God more that way. You suddenly realize, oh, zero fear. God has zero tolerance for fear. Anything happens, fear not. Fear not. No fear. No fear. Hallelujah. No fear. Oh, you can see the report. No fear. You can see the letter. No fear. You can see the statement. No fear. Because God is zero fear. So that you understand an aspect of God, and that draws you closer to Him. Amen. I want us to look at a few scriptures here as we carry on. I know we're going to wrap this up very soon. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pray with me for a minute. Lord, thank you for granting us understanding, revelation through your word. Thank you, God. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for granting us understanding, revelation through your word. Now pray with me, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding so I can see what you need me to see, so I can know what you need me to know, and so I can draw closer to you. So I can draw closer to you. Help me see what you need me to see. Help me know what you need me to know so I can draw closer to you. Amen. Listen to this. Jesus reveals the Father to us through the Holy Spirit, and he wants to, he desires to, and he takes pleasure in doing so. Part of our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ is that he wants to reveal the Father to us through the Holy Spirit. He desires to. He longs to. He takes pleasure in doing it. What are we learning about tonight? How to know God more through revelation and experience. How to know God more through gaining understanding of God. Jesus wants to reveal the Father to us. He wants to reveal God to us. Remember, we learned earlier, the key is paying attention. we have to pay attention. We can't pay attention sometimes and not pay attention at other times. We can't just go to sleep. We can't just go to sleep and turn our spirits off and turn our... No, we've got to pay attention. Because the Lord will reveal the Father to us through His Word and through our life's experiences. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here before our time is up tonight. Matthew 11:27. These scriptures say basically almost the same thing. Matthew 11:27. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 11:27. This is the Lord speaking. It says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So the Lord is saying, you can't know the Father unless the Son reveals him to you. And how does the Son reveal the Father to us? Through the Holy Spirit. Luke 10:22 says pretty much the same thing. Let's read it. Luke 10:22. Luke 10:22. It says right there, all things, exactly the same thing we just read. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Well, how does he reveal him? John 16, and let's read from verse 7 to 15. How does Jesus reveal the Father to us? John 16, let's read from verse 7. John 16, let's read from verse 7. Just like he revealed him, he revealed the Father to his disciples. And sometimes the disciples were slow in following, in catching up. They were slow in seeing it. They were slow in getting it. He was long-suffering. That's how he's long-suffering towards us. Sometimes we're just slow in getting it. We're slow in seeing it. We're slow in catching up to it. But he's long-suffering towards us. He's patient with us. Hallelujah. And as long as we commit to it, as long as we commit to the process, he will reveal the Father to us. We will know the Father more through revelation, through experience. Let's read this real quickly, and then we're going to close out here. Close right out here. John 16, from verse 7. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Let's jump to verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine, and he will show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine, and he will show it unto you." The Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit, Jesus will reveal the Father to us through the Holy Spirit. As we go on our journey through the Word of God, revelation in the Word of God, life's experiences, the Holy Spirit will connect the dots for us. The Holy Spirit will reveal the Father to us. The Holy Spirit will show the Father. Our part is to pay attention. The Holy Spirit will come to open our eyes. The Holy Spirit will come to call our attention like he called Moses' attention. The key is to respond to him. The key is to open our eyes when he's trying to open them. That's why Paul said he prayed that prayer. Let's close out there. Let's close out there. Let's actually pray that prayer for ourselves tonight. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse. Because when the Holy Spirit is doing all this work, he needs our cooperation. Knowing the Father more, gaining understanding of the Father more, comes through cooperating with the Holy Spirit, paying attention to the things that he shows us. paying attention. Let's pray that prayer for ourselves in Ephesians chapter 1. It's a very good place to stop. And you know what? Between now and our next lesson, next week, just pray this for you. Don't even stop praying this for yourself after next week. Just pray this prayer for yourself all the time. All the time. Look at it. Look at it. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He prayed that the Lord will open the eyes of their understanding, that they will receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Let's pray that prayer. Let's make that our prayer tonight. We're almost out of time. Let's make that our prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that we will receive a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. God, that the eyes of our understanding will become enlightened more and more and more. Open our eyes. Anoint them with eyesight. Help us see what you need us to see. Help us know what you need us to know. And when the Spirit of God reveals the Father to us, help us pay attention. Help us see it. Help us know it. Help us understand it. We thank you, Father, for it. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Saints, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm so excited about what the Lord's revealed to us, how he's taught us tonight. Looking forward to our service next week. I trust God that you come into a place of greater understanding, greater knowledge of God through revelation and through experience. God bless you and good night.